Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the world we live in. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. In today's teaching, Pastor Brian takes us through 2 Timothy chapter 1, where he speaks about how death was never supposed to be a part of our experience. Jesus Christ abolished death and has brought us life through the gospel. Let's join Pastor Brian for today's message titled, The Destruction of Death.
Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isaiah, as we read, refers to death as the covering cast over all people and the veil spread over all nations. Death is that dreaded reality that every human being hopes to avoid, but of course never can escape. Death is man's perennial enemy and man's greatest fear. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that men live their entire lives subject to bondage, to fear, and specifically the fear of death. Death, it just doesn't settle with us, doesn't. You know, as much as we're surrounded by it to some extent, or, you know, maybe we've had family members or friends or, death is a part of life, but yet it's a part of life that we just cannot adjust to. There's a reason for that. Death was never a part of God's original plan for man. It is something that came in as the result of sin. God had said to Adam, you remember, He said, of all the trees of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree that is in the midst of the garden you shall not eat it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Our ongoing inability to accept death as just another part of the human experience is to me a strong indicator that the biblical explanation of death is the right one. The reason we react to death the way we do, the reason why we cannot adjust to it, is because it was never supposed to be. It was never supposed to be. Death, according to the Bible, is an intruder. Death has trespassed into this realm, but it was never intended to be part of our experience. And God has declared that He will not indefinitely tolerate this situation. And we read in Isaiah the future, how God is going to deal with death. Also, through the prophet Hosea, God said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has fulfilled these promises. Destroying death. Jesus Christ, as Paul said in our text, he has abolished death, and he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I love that word abolish. It's a strong word, and it indicates the total obliteration of death. It speaks of death being eradicated, nullified, rescinded, repealed, annihilated. I love it. Jesus Christ abolished death. He crushed it. He destroyed it. This is what he did on the cross. You know, sometimes people today will say, well, you know, I don't really see that Jesus accomplished much. After all, we look around the world and we still see a world full of problems. And so, you know, why should we consider Jesus? After all, what did he do? Well, let's start with this one. He abolished death. Jesus, you remember perhaps, on one occasion when speaking to his disciples, he asked them the question, who do men say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? They gave some answers. Peter said, finally, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus then said to Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, upon the rock of that confession that he was the Christ. And he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when we read that statement or when we quote that verse, more often than not, we're understanding it to be saying that, you know, the church is going to be victorious ultimately. The enemy is not going to be able to prevail against the church, against Christians. That's kind of the interpretation. And although that is definitely true, the Bible certainly teaches that the church is going to ultimately be victorious, I personally don't think that that's what Jesus meant when he said what he said. You see, we have our translation, most common translation is, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The literal word there is not hell, but it's Hades. And Hades was the Greek word that described death or the grave, much like the Old Testament word Sheol. But both of those words quite often are translated into English as hell, but they don't really refer to hell. They refer to death and to the grave. And what Jesus is then saying there is that death or the grave will not prevail against his church. You see, all of the previous saints, death had prevailed over them. They would speak of going the way of all the earth. And when they spoke of that place that they were headed after life, they spoke of it with a bit of trepidation. They spoke of it with uncertainty. They spoke of it with an element of fear, and it was fuzzy. But you see, for the believer in Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, that's no longer the case. When we think of leaving this world and going on from here, it's not fuzzy. It's not uncertain. It's not ambiguous. The Bible's clear about what happens to us. And it's clear about this. Death and the grave will not prevail over those who have believed in Jesus Christ. Now, if this is true, which it is, why do we still die? Well, as believers, we actually don't. We actually don't. You see, our problem is we use the wrong terminology. We have wrong definitions. I mean, someone would argue and say, well, now, wait a second. You're saying that believers don't die. I know lots of believers that have died. No, they haven't. Jesus said they don't. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So when we refer to a believer as a person who has died, we're not using the proper terminology, really. And we're failing to understand that there are distinct definitions of death. Now, there's God's definition and there's man's definition. And we commonly use the secondary definition rather than the primary definition. We commonly use man's definition of death, which is the spirit being separated from the body. But you see, God's definition is different. God says that death is first and foremost the spirit being separated from him. Remember what he said to Adam? In the day that you eat of this, you shall die. But the physical aspect of death did not come to Adam for many, many centuries. Adam lived to be 930 years old. But God said, the moment, the day, the instant that you eat of it, you shall die. You see, God's definition of death is different. God defines death as the separation of the spirit from him. And the moment Adam ate from that fruit, he died in a spiritual sense. But it wasn't until many, many years later that that manifested itself in the physical realm. So we have to understand what death really is. So it really is then incorrect to say that a believer has died. Paul and Jesus as well used different terminology. They spoke of believers as having fallen asleep. And that's a better way to look at it. They've fallen asleep. The body has fallen asleep. But of course, they're very much alive because Jesus said, if you live and believe in me, you will never die. Now, in the original order of things, spiritual death led ultimately to physical death. In the new order, spiritual life will lead ultimately to physical life. So spiritual death led to physical death. Spiritual life, that's where we must start with life in the spiritual sense. But that will one day take care of death in all of its manifestations. It will take care of physical death. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So you see, it's coming. We read in the book of Revelation that death and Hades will eventually be cast into the lake of fire. So when is all of this going to culminate? When is all of this going to come to full fruition? Well, this is going to happen at the resurrection. The Bible speaks of a resurrection day. Remember when Jesus was speaking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, and Lazarus had died. Jesus, when he described it, he actually said Lazarus sleeps. But he had died in the physical sense, and Jesus was speaking to Martha, and he said, Martha, your brother is going to live again. And she said, oh, Lord, I know he's going to live again at the resurrection on the last day. You see, the Jews understood from their scriptures that there would be a resurrection. Many places where their scriptures talked about those sleeping in the dust of the earth, arising, awaking. And they had that expectation. There is a resurrection that is coming, and Christ himself was the first fruits. Now, that word, first fruits, it doesn't simply mean that Jesus was the first in a chronological order to rise from the dead. First fruits is a way of describing the first part of a harvest that was representative of the entire harvest. The first fruits was sort of the guarantee that the rest of the harvest would come. So Paul refers to Christ in his resurrection, he refers to him as the first fruits. Meaning that just as Jesus rose from the dead, received a glorified body over which death no longer has power, He is the first one to experience that, but he is the guarantee that all of his followers will have that same experience. Now, the Bible speaks of those who sleep in Christ and those who are Christ at his coming. Those who sleep in Christ are those who, we would say, have died. They've already left us. They've gone to be with the Lord. But at the resurrection, they are going to be awakened. They are going to be raised up. And they're going to be given this immortal body, this new body, this glorified body. Those who are Christ at his coming, those who are living when Christ returns, they are going to be instantaneously glorified. This is what the rapture is. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." What does he mean by that? We shall not all die. But we shall be changed in a moment. So you see, this is coming in the future, and all of this will ultimately be the final and total manifestation of the fact that Christ abolished death. But the spiritual element of death, the primary aspect of death, is first of all dealt with, and then the physical manifestation of it, that will be taken care of in that final moment. Now, a question that we are often asked is, what happens when a believer in Jesus dies physically, goes to sleep? What is it that actually happens at that point? Now, because we find this word sleep, some people have had the idea that when a believer, when their spirit leaves their body here, they go into some sort of a, kind of like a spiritual coma, where they're in a state of inactivity and rest. But that's not the biblical picture. The Bible talks about them going to sleep. Again, it's talking about the body. But as far as the spiritual part of man goes, we know that part of us goes to be with the Lord. You know, that's really the right thing to say when we're talking about our loved ones, our fellow believers who have passed away, as we say. The proper thing to say is they've gone to be with the Lord, because that's exactly where they are. Paul said it. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, I'd rather be absent from this body, because to be absent from this body would put me in the presence of the Lord. In writing to the Philippians, Paul said, he described a dilemma that he was in. He said, to depart and be with Christ is far better, but to stay for your edification, I feel that that's necessary as well. So he said, I'm actually torn. I'm not sure which one to choose. So again, Paul understood that departing from this physical realm puts us in the presence of the Lord. And remember what he said. He said it's a far better thing. Paul was genuinely torn. It was a far better thing. I wonder if we have that kind of understanding today. Do we think of that as a far better thing? I think quite often, even as Christians, although we know that heaven is a reality, we know that we're going to be with the Lord, we're sort of prefer to stick around here for a bit longer. And there's all kinds of reasons why we feel that way, and they're understandable things. But you know, if we get that understanding that Paul had, we're going to come down on the side of, it's a far better thing. I'm torn. I don't know. I was talking to one of the guys in the fellowship today who does a lot of evangelism, and he goes all around the world evangelizing, and he usually ends up in some pretty crazy situations. And once again, he ended up in a pretty crazy situation. He was telling me he was recently in Jerusalem, and they were ministering there. And they were there on the Temple Mount, and he said he was packed down with about 50 pounds of tracts, for Muslims. And they were there at the end of Ramadan, and the Muslims were coming off of the Temple Mount and away from their worship at the different mosques there and so forth. And he said they were set up with a table right there, handing them these gospel tracts as they were coming away from their festivities. And he said, there was a little moment where it got a little bit heated, got a little bit hostile, the environment. You can understand that it would. And he said the young guy that was with him, he turned to him and said, well, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? I mean, they might kill us, but hey, we'll go to be with the Lord. So let's keep at it. They did. But that's the right attitude. We'll go to be with the Lord. David said it. I think he described so beautifully this process that we are so often frightened of. David described it this way. He said, I will be glad when I awake with your likeness. And to me, that's just such a beautiful picture of what is happening there. Awaking with his likeness. It's like going to sleep. It's like having a bad dream. And then suddenly you wake up out of that dream. It's like, going to bed miserable and fatigued and plagued and sick and diseased, and you wake up and you're in perfect shape. I will be glad when I awake with your likeness. You know, an interesting thing that we find is that the Bible doesn't spend a whole lot of time describing heaven. Have you noticed that? The descriptions of heaven are rather brief. Primarily, the book of Revelation is the only place where it's even really touched on. Now, why is that? Well, I think it's because, as Paul said, it would be unlawful to try to put it in human language. Because human language cannot justify the realities of heaven. Human language can't really express what is there. All we could do with human language is fall so far short of what it actually is. So God, to a certain extent, he just sort of leaves it. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of a man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But the Holy Spirit gives us little taste, little glimpses, little glimmers sometimes. You know, we can sometimes have those moments maybe where we're worshiping together and we just have just sort of a flash of glory. You know, just an instant. It just comes, and as quickly as it comes, it goes. But it's this feeling of ecstasy. A little taste, a little touch of heaven. But that's what the believer has to look forward to. Jesus said, those who live and believe in me will never die. How could they die? He abolished death. There is no such thing. It no longer exists. It's only this transition out from the material, physical realm into the spiritual realm. But not only did Jesus abolish death, Paul says that he brought life and immortality to light. He brought life to light.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Destruction of Death, and the resource number is OBB486. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.